Hello, and a happy upcoming equinox to you, dear listeners. This is Christina Rodenbeck from the Oxford Astrologer, and I'm here with my dear and beloved friend and colleague, Sally Kirkman from sallykirkman.com. And we are going to talk about the month ahead, which is pretty exciting. It's the first month of the zodiacal year, and we're going to talk about the month behind also. And what else are we going to talk about? Other stuff. Sally, how are you?
I'm very well, Christina. Lovely to see you. How am I? Well, we're recording this in Pisces season, which has been quite magical, quite spacey. I was writing a book for a lot of it and then had a week's holiday. So I felt like I was kind of taking a step back from everyday life, which is quite a nice thing to do in Pisces season. And it's been very wet. There's been a lot of rain here in the UK, which is fits Pisces season, doesn't it? I suppose all that water. But I'm well on the whole. I'm feeling slightly like I'm half in dream world and half in real world. But there we go.
Good. Yeah, it's been quite an interesting Pisces season, hasn't it, this year? I mean, the new moon in Pisces has been really intense. Funnily enough, I've been writing a book too, but I haven't got a publisher yet, which you've done much better than me in that. But what's your book about, Sally?
Well, I can't reveal as yet, Christina.
Oh, I can reveal mine. And if anybody wants to publish it, I'm doing a book on Black Moon Lilith. And I went on a writer's retreat with my friend Anne, which consisted of going and staying with her in Glasgow, which was great. So I'm ever so grateful that she did that for me and basically bullied me into sitting at my desk, which is superb. Sometimes you need a Leo in your life, don't you?
You do. You need fire. We're moving into fire season, aren't we, Aries? You need fire. Yeah, it is. I hope this publisher's listening in. Please, she's brilliant, Christina. So, you know, sign her up. What else? I mean, other funny things this Pisces season. I've got friends down in South Africa, and on that new moon in Pisces as well, I got a message saying they've got super pods of dolphins just off the coast. I mean, normally they're kind of these little pods, but super pods of dolphins. And I thought, wow, that's very Pisces as well. They're going around in these big groups. And then one other thing, that a lovely story, which was a friend on social media, she got delivered like 350 bottles of Prosecco, small Prosecco, and 13 cases of wine that had her name and address on it. And they just turned up, which, you know, I thought Pisces season, all this overload of wine.
Yeah, she could have a bath in that.
Which I just thought, this is fantastic. And it was, it did get sorted out in the end. And she realized, obviously, it wasn't meant to be sent to her. But I thought, you know, here we are. And it is quite a super Pisces season, isn't it? With Saturn in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces. We're really fully in it. So there's this sort of overflow and overwhelm of Pisces themes, water and wine.
Can one ever have too much Pisces in one's life? I'm not sure. There are also, I was actually thinking, as you were saying, super pods of dolphins, there are super pods of people demonstrating as well. Big, big groups of people demonstrating for Gaza. And I also thought, oh, it was a super boring Super Tuesday in the States, because it's all very predictable. And you did very well at the Oscars, didn't you?
I did, yes. An absolute full sweep this time. I mean, I do it every year and have been doing pretty well, but never a full sweep. So it's very heartening. And obviously, I don't stay up all night and watch it, because here in the UK, it's early hours. And then I wake up in the morning to discover that, yay, the astrology, using the craft of astrology to get the predictions, it works extremely well. So yeah, another Pisces theme, the movies as well.
Yeah, we thought it would be Oppenheimer, didn't we? Because of the science-y side of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is coming up, guys. And Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is associated with scientific breakthrough quite a few times. I think first man on the moon and things like that. I noticed one thing about the Oscars that I didn't watch the whole thing. I just flicked through the clothes, obviously.
Yes.
They were dressed as fishes. I mean, there were a lot of, there was this very svelte cigarette silhouette on a lot. They look great. So many beautiful dresses. But this very, it was like sardines. I think Zendaya looked amazing. And she was kind of dressed as a sort of mermaid fish thing. As svelte silhouette, people looking very kind of narrow. And, like a sardine, like fish. They were looking like fish. Beautiful fish. So that's not a criticism, but that's just this. If you look at the silhouette, I mean, there were some exceptions, but the standout beautiful dresses were that look.
And I did notice as well, again, I haven't looked at all the fashion of it, but I did notice a lot of sort of silver and sea greens and, you know, the colours of the sea, actually, Pisces colours. So quite extraordinary.
Glistening and glimmering and stuff. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So I have to say, Oppenheimer, as we know, won everything left, right, and center. And I saw that movie. I thought it was really boring. And like a big, I'm trying to think of a polite way of putting this. I want to say wank, but that's probably going to be cut, right? It's like a big ejaculation. So it's very kind of like, guys doing stuff, big bomb, boom. Mind you, Cillian Murphy is great. I love him. But and you would think, oh, God, you know, yet another movie about guys doing stuff. But actually, the movies that didn't win but were nominated, there was a lot. There's a lot of movement there. There's Barbie. There's Anatomy of a Fall. There's Past Lives, which was a beautiful movie. So beautiful. And easily my favorite, Killers of the Flower Moon. So there was a lot of, there were a lot of, those three of those movies are directed by women. And that is such a massive change from 15 years ago. You know, so underneath the whole Oppenheimer ejaculation thing, there is a lot of change in who's being recognized, actually.
I haven't got around to watching Oppenheimer yet because it's, you have to invest a lot of time in these big movies. And there was the thing, what I loved was Hugh Grant, who was infamously an Oompa Loompa in the recent Willy Wonka. And he was presenting at the BAFTAs. And I think he was doing the best picture. And he came on and said, Oompa, Oompa Loompa, doopity dong. Frankly, some of these movies were far too long.
Did he? I love him much. Yeah. Hugh Grant can't do no wrong, right? He's so funny. The irony.
So a lot going on in Pisces season, actually. A lot of real Pisces symbolism. But we're moving into Aries season, which I think it's going to, I mean, my ascendant's Aries, so, you know, and we're needing a bit of fire, aren't we? The planets haven't really been in fire, although Mercury's gone in March the 10th, I think. So Mercury's there, but the sun's move into Aries is the equinox, which is on March 20th, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I am, I'm not sure we need the fire. I feel worried. I mean, and I wouldn't normally say that because I'm Mrs. Positive Pollyanna, but I cannot say I'm looking forward to the next 6 weeks. And so actually starting from mid-March, so earlier than the equinox, and thinking, because there's a lot of quite intense astrology coming up and it's fiery and some of it not in the best way. So I wouldn't say we need, but can't we just stay in Pisces for longer, please?
Well, and the planets are helping us there, aren't they? Because, Mars will move into Pisces. I think it's the 22nd of March. At least Mars stays there, god of war, until the end of April. And Venus remains in Pisces as well until when she in Pisces? Till April the 5th. So the other planets are helping there. I mean, we should talk a bit about Aries. I mean, it's ruled by Mars, god of war, isn't it? So that's why there's this, trigger. It's the first sign of the zodiac. And, you know, it's an interesting sign. I mean, I obviously with an Aries ascendant, I get quite a good take on it. And for me, you know, what's been quite interesting is that I spent a lot of my life being fearless. You know, that Aries ascendant, just going for it, leaping into action, doing things. But then, I mean, and we're talking probably, we're probably talking menopause for us ladies. You know, it started to feel fear. And I think this is a very, you know, this relationship with fear, whether you have it or not, I think is a really key factor of Aries. You know, it's quite often we say with Aries, oh, they're all the heroes. They're the sort of firefighters. They're bold. They're courageous. And you'll talk to some Aries and they'll be, oh, I feel a lot of anxiety a lot of the time. So I think it is for Aries. There is this, you know, it's learning what makes you scared, what makes you fearful, whether you can feel the fear and do it anyway. For me, it's that relationship with fear that I think is really key within the star sign.
I really agree about the timid Aries. I know loads of timid Aries who have been actually really pushed around in their lives and have had, but part of their life journey has been about learning not to be timid, you know? And then there's the other kind of Aries who have just, you know, Aries can be quite blinkered because it's like, number one, it's the sign that's, it's one, right? So boom, off you go as an Aries, forgetting that other people are involved and may have different opinions and may want to go different ways. So, you know, you can find the Aries who's like, who will say to you something like, I never saw that coming. That's a real Aries phrase. I just didn't see it coming. And it's because they're focused on going forward rather than all the kind of, they haven't got the peripheral vision that some of the other signs have, you know? So it's kind of this one-pointedness of Aries, which is incredibly useful sometimes. And, you know, I have a wonderful Aries friend actually, who, because she's always had her eyes, like when she focuses on something, it gets done. And she can figure out the fastest, most direct, and actually best way to do something. It may ride roughshod over other people, actually, and their feelings. And she wouldn't want to do that because she's a nice person. But once she fixes on something, it's amazing how incredibly effective she is as an operator in the world.
I agree with that. I mean, and that's one of, you know, when I write fast and direct. I mean, people, astrologer friends of mine, like, how did you manage to write that in that amount of time? And it's like, well, I just crack on with it. And I think that's a good point, because Aries aren't perfectionists. They're not like that Virgo attention to detail. It is exactly as you're saying. Let's find the fastest, most efficient, let's move through it. And I think that's a real strength. It's a real strength of Aries.
And it's very useful. I love that phrase, just crack on with it. I think that is also an Aries phrase. It's like, what's Aries? Well, just crack on with it. Come on. You know, let's go. And the rest of us sometimes need that. You need someone who's like saying, come on, let's just get this thing done. Let's do it. Let's get, you know, let's go over the next hill. Let's discover what's behind the next thing. Let's, you know, light the fire. And that's the other thing about Aries. It's a fire lighter, right? It's the person who can make things go. I find Aries are often very good salespeople, actually, because they have that inspiring thing. And they're also can be really competitive. And this is the downside, actually. It's really great to be competitive if you're in a competition. if you want to win at tennis, good to have some Aries, some fire. Or if you want to win a game, or if you want to be in sales, which is, you know, about getting up the league. If you're in a relationship, you don't want to, you know, compromise is like a good idea sometimes. Or, you know, if you're dealing with other people, you need to find that compromise. And that's, I think, sometimes where the timid Aries can come in that you kind of go too much the other way. You know, you're too much the other way. You completely compromise. You completely let yourself get walked over. And I've seen that with Aries a lot. So it's an interesting balance between that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the opposite sign, isn't it? Aries and Libra, which we will be talking about because of the eclipses coming up. I mean, this balance, the two go together. And you see it always on the full moon and the eclipses. Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying. I mean, I'm, you know, as most listeners know, I'm single at the moment. You know, there's, and I was thinking the other day, I was looking at couples, I was thinking, God, do I want that? I really don't. You know, I was just thinking, oh, I just like doing my, I love my independence. I love my life, you know. I like being able to do what I want. So, you know, absolutely, as that Aries is just looking at the Libra and thinking, oh, God, that would require a lot.
Yeah, well, you've got the Libra moon, though, haven't you?
I have.
It's interesting when you have that dynamic in a person's life, when you have this, any kind of opposite thing like that. It's like, am I doing that or am I doing that? Libra's a sign about of relationships. Aries is a sign of flying solo. Although I have to say, I find Aries on generally are not solo in the same way that often Aquarians are, you know?
Yeah, so, and I did do a 20-year relationship, you know, so, I mean, I can do the moon Libra too.
You've done both sides, mate.
Both sides, yeah. Yeah.
Shall we crack on with it, Sally? What do you say?
I think we crack. I mean, we've got so, there's so much going on this month. I mean, for everyone to know, it's a ridiculously busy month. I mean, it's hard to know where to start, but let's start at the beginning.
Let's begin at the beginning, which is a very Aries thing to do. Begin at the beginning.
It is.
See what's on the horizon. Go towards that. That's the Aries.
Yeah. And we should start really by looking at the equinox chart, which is the chart at the moment, the precise moment that the sun moves into Aries, which isn't the exact same date time every year, as most of you know. It does change slightly, but we're going to be looking at the chart of the equinox. And that, in a way, you know, what's nice about the equinox and solstice points is that they're the start of a new 3 months, start of a new season. And in Aries, of course, there's this real sense of something new coming in.
And it's quite a weird equinox chart, isn't it? I mean, well, for a start, we know that Mercury is slowing down. Mercury is going to go retrograde on the 1st of April. So we're already in the shadow. And Mercury is making conjunction to Chiron. And Chiron is in Aries at the moment. Chiron is the wounded healer. I think we'll be talking a lot more about this because it's deeply involved in all of the stuff that's going on in the next few weeks, month. But it's already right at the equinox. It's like, pay attention to Chiron. You know, Mercury is going to Chiron, going past Chiron, and then I'm going to turn around, come back and go have another chat with Chiron, and then another one. So it's a triple. It's a triple hit.
You know, interestingly, the sun is in Aries at 0 degrees, but it's actually conjunct Neptune at 27 Pisces. So we are moving into Aries season, but, you know, there's Venus, Saturn, Neptune still in Pisces, and we're still learning so much, I think, about what this means. I have to say, looking at the chart for me, and this is partly the Chiron theme, partly what's happening in Pisces, is there is this sense of, I don't know, collective unconscious, the deep healing that is needed, and the deep wounds that seem to be in the world at the moment, actually. I mean, really deep wounds.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've been thinking about is sacrifice. I was thinking about this because of the death of Alexei Navalny, the Russian dissident in jail, who is a martyr. And Pisces is the sign of martyrdom, and Saturn in Pisces makes that even more so, I think. And ditto Neptune. So this combination of Neptune and Saturn in Pisces does suggest a certain kind of martyrdom to me. And we've seen what's been happening in Israel-Palestine. Who are the martyrs, right? Who are the martyrs? Well, we know it's the women and children, don't we? It's the women who are being sacrificed. But there's martyrdom going on there. And Alexei Navalny was also a martyr. And I think that that's one of the reasons I feel very uncomfortable with what's coming up, actually, is this sense of people, things being sacrificed. Now, this doesn't apply personally, by the way. This is a collective thing. So personally, you may be sacrificing nada, but on a collective level, some kind of grief and sacrifice is going on.
And also the other thing that I think is interesting with this chart, and it's from what you're saying, I mean, just seeing it, I mean, the moon is in Leo on its own, away from all of the other planets and opposite Pluto. So immediately when you're talking about the women and children, you know, there's the symbol of the moon proud in Leo, you know, really proud, but in that opposition to Pluto. Pluto in Aquarius still very, very significant and powerful, and not only opposite the moon in this chart, but in a close sextile to the sun as well. So that Pluto in Aquarius is still key. And just to say, Mars is in Aquarius as well during the equinox, and Mars is the ruler of Aries. So again, for me, there's this feel of, you know, humanitarian aid and, you know, needing the community, the society, world to come together just to bring some good into the world. I mean, that too really, you know, when you're looking at the sort of themes leaping out in this chart.
Yeah. Oh, you're so... I always think of myself as the sort of hopeful one, because I do see a lot of like military organization in this chart. I also see, to me, it's like, oh, okay, who's making the money? You know, out of the chaos that we're in, tons and tons of money is being made, you know, by that Pluto in Aquarius. You know, there's some kind of weird shift. And the Pluto, as you say, the Pluto's making a fantastic sextile to the sun in the sign of war. So these warmongers are making a lot of money out of selling arms to people, you know, and that is going to continue. So the question, I suppose, you know, then we can't just throw up our hands, but we should, I feel that consciousness needs to be raised about who profits and who loses. You know, who are the victims? It's the people. And who are the profiteers? And I like that word profiteer as well, which is a wartime term. People making profit out of the misery of others. And that's where we come to the Chiron, because Chiron, we were discussing this earlier, weren't we, before we got on the show, just talking about how Chiron is a really new thing for astrologers, right? I mean, you said something quite interesting about it.
Did I?
Yeah, you did, Sally. That was an opening. Oh. Sally, you said something quite interesting about it, I think. What was it? But you were talking about Chiron and the fact that it's new, right?
Yes, it is. And what I was saying was, now I remember the bit that you were, we're learning about it still. You know, as astrologers, we're learning about it. It was only 1977 it was kind of discovered and really came into the psyche. Not that surprising. It's a, you know, it's about healing. And I think, you know, the word healing the earth, healing people, the healers. I mean, this is something that's kind of new and foreground and a really big part of, you know, our consciousness in a way. So it is new. It is new. Are we going to leap into talking about it now, or do we want to talk about it at the solar eclipse? Because at the solar eclipse, Chiron's extraordinary. Maybe let's talk about it a bit more then, because this is we are in eclipse season. It's the Aries Libra eclipse season, which started last year and ends next year. So we're right in the midst of this Aries Libra eclipse season. Eclipses happen in pairs twice a year, on average. So we've got a lunar eclipse on March the 25th and a solar eclipse on April the 8th. And this means that the full moons and new moons aren't normal. It's not, you know, you're not using them in this normal way, because, I mean, think of about the word eclipse. There's something that's hidden. It's a completely different landscape that we're dealing with during the eclipses. And we should have a look at the lunar eclipse as well while we're getting into this conversation, which has got the moon in Libra. And interestingly, also, this is the only lunar eclipse in the set. They're all solar eclipses in Aries and Libra. It's the only one that's a lunar eclipse, which is often much more about relationship, isn't it? The relationship with the other, the sun and moon at opposite ends of the spectrum. What's your take on eclipses, Christina?
Well, I think eclipses vary a lot more than people, than one would like to say, right? Sometimes they are a door opening and a door closing, for sure, or a door closing. They are breakthroughs. They are opportunities quite often. I think it's important to be fearless. What I really notice about eclipses is that there are certain people whose lives are they're eclipse people. People born on eclipses. I also have a friend who's born on the bendings. I was looking at his chart the other day, and the bendings are the 90 degrees point between the eclipse points, which is a little bit complicated. It's a really interesting point in a chart. And he's an eclipse person too. He does something for like 10 years and then that's it. Finished. Done. And that can be really eclipsy. A person whose life is like chopped up into these very distinct sections where that I was, you know, I was a redhead for 10 years and now I'm, you know, now I'm not, I'm blonde or whatever it is, you know, you have these very distinct sections. Donald Trump is the famous example of an eclipsy person. Prince William, eclipsy. So you can be the sort of person who actually literally, if you're an eclipse person born on an eclipse, you may eclipse other people. Also, you may be that kind of eclipse person, or you may be eclipsed at some point. But generally, you can have quite a dramatic life in a way. So eclipses are this kind of, it's like something can just turn on an eclipse, something opens. And it really depends where it falls in your chart. And, you know, traditionally, obviously, it's like the death of kings or the, and this one, not the lunar eclipse, but the one on the 8th is big. It's a big eclipse. The one on the 25th is, you know, this lunar eclipse in Libra. It's at 5 degrees. If you've got anything around that or Capricorn, Cancer at that point, something may happen. But it's, to me, this is just, I feel like this is all sweeping into that solar eclipse in Aries on the 8th. And in fact, I can feel it. It's like we're being sucked into this vortex of eclipses, and then that conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus on the 21st, you know, at the end of April.
Interesting what you're saying. I mean, the lunar eclipse, well, we may have more to talk about next time because it falls across my ascendant descendant. So, you know, when you're talking about, it is going to trigger my chart quite strongly, this one. And what you were saying also about being born on an eclipse, we did a brilliant little podcast on that, by the way. So, you know, check out our past podcasts because we did that a couple of months ago talking about eclipses. I think what's important with eclipses is that you need to be aware of them coming up. But for me, it's often they are very closely associated with the unexpected. And they really are associated too with the, you know, the wheel of fortune, of fate turning. The best thing to do with eclipses for me is not to kind of, you don't use them to start things or, you know, do something big on an eclipse, because it's very likely that life will step in and something will happen. And then you have to wait a little and then perhaps take advantage. So Aries, Libra, excuse me, I mean, relationships. Key theme here, isn't it?
Well, I also think, and one thing I notice, see, I'm not completely against starting things on an eclipse. You know, it depends on your chart, really. But I do notice that, like, the hands of hell can come out, you know, on the eclipse. So worst family arguments, oh my God, have been on eclipses in my tiny family. It's like, oh, we should have just not spoken to each other on that day, and it would have been so much better. So, you know, you do that. That's my advice. Is to be cautious. But if there's something that you do need to release, get rid of, an eclipse can be an amazing time to just like let it go.
No, I agree with that completely. And also what you're talking about, you know, this could be a lively eclipse for arguments, because Mercury, the communication planet's in Aries, you know, and Mercury in Aries is motor mouth. It's speaking without thinking. It's just cutting in. So if you've got people in your life who do that, who can really be, you know, sometimes quite cruel or, direct or blunt. I mean, don't sort of stir things up on this eclipse, because people are going to speak their mind on this eclipse, that's for sure.
And they may regret it. Because actually also this Mercury is in its own shadow. It's going retrograde in a few days' time. Whatever you do, be really careful around communications, really seriously this time. And, you know, people always often say this about a Mercury retrograde, but this one, for real, be careful what you say. Okay, be careful what you sign. Be careful who you're agreeing what with, you know, because you could, and the potential for rows is big.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? It's huge. Also for Cancer, Capricorn, you know, the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, this eclipse is going to be powerful. Cancer, Capricorn, it's across the foundations of your chart. So this is often when there's big changes in your future path. It can be a time when, you know, you change careers, or it can be a time of major change within your home or family. You might decide to move. And sometimes the two are linked. You know, you move to pursue a new future path. So for Cancer, Capricorn as well, this is likely to be a powerful eclipse.
A powerful set of eclipses, right? So it could be like your boss leaves and that makes room for you. See, that would be a classic eclipse thing to happen. Speaking of eclipses, actually bringing fortune. It's like, oh, that person who you thought was going to be there forever sitting on your job goes and off you go. Or you're released from your job, like you get fired, basically. And it turns out to be a good thing. You know, it's freedom. Because actually we've got other freedom things coming up further down the line in the spring. So this may be sort of feel like a cataclysmic moment right now in coming up in the next few weeks. But the breakage that happens now releases you into the future. And actually, because of the Uranus-Jupiter conjunction, it gives you wings. So the other thing about Mercury and Aries is it has a truth-telling tendencies that can get it into trouble. You know, speaking, being really direct.
Absolutely. Also quite interesting, I think it is a very interesting month for Pisces, this too, isn't it? Because, you know, even though it's Aries season, during this eclipse, Mars has just moved into Pisces. And this is giving Pisces an edge, a feistiness. You know, it's kind of like maybe... you Pisces are going to be much more kind of direct, feisty, perhaps more competitive with Mars in your star sign.
Well, also get on the peace train, guys. That's what this Pisces is saying to you. Get on the peace train, because that you're on the wrong side of history if you're not in favor of peace.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. And Venus as well in Pisces during this eclipse. You know, it's the lovers, Mars and Venus in Pisces. So there's real strength.
It's about universal love, yeah, and empowering that. It's, in the collective, what is the loving thing to do? You know, what is the loving thing to do? I don't mean turn the other cheek. I mean, what is the loving thing to do? Because we're in a very bad way in a lot of places. We haven't even talked about Sudan.
And that feels quite, you know, it's interesting. The astrology is really focusing on that because, I mean, and this is also part of Pluto's move into Aquarius, bringing in the collective, making us remember that we're part of society. Even more important to do it during Aries season, which is self, you know, Aries can be selfish, self-centered. Oh, I'll just do what's right for me. But the astrology, when you look at this powerful astrology of the equinox chart, and also during this lunar eclipse, it's like, well, maybe that's not the right approach at the moment. Maybe that isn't, you know, it's not the time to be selfish and self-centered.
Well, it's saying that the collective is the power is in the group action. The power is in the collective. And so your question needs to be, is do you want to be a collective hater? Or do you want to be a collective lover?
Nice. I like that, Christina. That's lovely. And Aries is one of the signs of protest, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Join in a protest. Join in. Join in. Do your bit for society.
And the protests make it more Marsy as Mars moves into Pisces. I don't know how much more Marsy one they could get. They're pretty huge here. I noticed that there's big protests in Israel as well. And in Pisces, it's about peace. It's not about war.
Yeah, we've got that very strong contrast at the moment, haven't we? A very strong contrast from the astrology perspective. And then, of course, what happens, this is important on a personal level in particular, Mercury turns retrograde on April the 1st and remains on go slow till April the 25th. So, you know, traditionally, Mercury retrograde is the time to take a step back. In Aries, I often think about, it's a bit like a Mars retrograde where, you know, the army needs to down arms, take a step back, rework strategy, look at things from a different perspective, you know, and then decide what to do when Mercury turns direct. You know, and that in your own life, wherever Aries is in your chart, this is really consider the timing of this, when to push forward, when to pull back, how to see where you can do things differently, what needs to shift or change.
And what's interesting about the sort of arc of this story, this narrative that we're seeing, is this, you know, we're seeing rows around that new moon, that full moon eclipse on the 25th, and it's very feisty. And then, as you say, it's put your arms down, cease fire, stop. And if you, or rather don't stop at your peril, because you start to self-harm, don't you, if you don't stop with that Mercury in retrograde in Aries. You know, it's self-harming, isn't it? So you need to be to consider. And this is really important depending on where it falls in your chart again. So, you know, I'm just thinking about, say, because we've talked about how this is so important for the cardinal signs, of course. But it's also important for like the fire signs. You know, you've got this energy is in, you know, actually, I wouldn't travel much if I were Leo, would you? I would be careful about the traveling. But also for the other thing about that Mercury in Aries retrograde for Leos specifically is it's awfully good time for study, isn't it? Because of the Mercury retrograde. And particularly for Leo.
And I mean, you're talking about the fire signs, that Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Sagittarius, this falls in the sector for children. So it may be, you know, don't go in all guns blazing with your kids during this Mercury retrograde. It might be that it's helpful just to slow down, take a step back, you know, look at what's happening. And then once Mercury starts to pick up speed again, then is the good time to reopen the lines of communication. Keep tabs on the kids, sort of thing, when Mercury's retrograde. But it needs a different approach. This is what's important, I think, with Mercury retrograde. It needs a different way of handling things that's not so direct. It's more indirect.
It's also about active listening. You know, that it's like, okay, be active, be Aries, but be listening, not talking. So shall we look at this scary eclipse now?
Let's look at the solar eclipse on April the 8th, 19 degrees Aries. And what is extraordinary about it is that the Sun, Moon and Charon are all at the exact same degree, 19 degrees, and the same minute, 24 minutes. And this means that Charon is partile. It's making a partile aspect with the Sun and Moon during the eclipse. So that Charon is shouting out for attention. Really, really powerfully. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, wow. Wow. That's partile. It's not just close. It's exact. So I think we need to talk a bit about Charon, don't we? We need to go there. What's it about? You know? I mean, straight away for me, a couple of things to say about it. I mean, Charon is a bridge. It falls between literally Saturn, which was the last of the traditional planets, and Uranus, the first of the modern planets. So there is often this bridge theme with Charon. And I went to a talk once about this. It was fascinating. It was, for me, a new way of seeing Charon. Like we said, we're still learning about it, that it is this bridge between the old and the new. And sometimes when you have Charon strong in your own chart, if it's conjunct a planet or on an angle, I think it was Jez Hughes was the talk. He was talking about sometimes you have a role of healing ancestral wounds or something similar going on. It's your own healing can be, you know, much deeper. You can have sometimes a path of suffering or sacrifice with Charon, but there's something going on, that there's a powerful healing effect of Charon. So, I mean, that's one way to look at it. There's different ways of looking at Charon, obviously, aren't there? What do you want to say about it?
Well, Charon was the teacher and counselor of heroes. So that also can, you know, when you see it in a natal chart, you sometimes see it in the chart of teachers, people who are somehow teaching. You see it in the charts of doctors and not so much of doctors and diagnosticians. I've seen it in the charts of people who do body work. So these are all healing modalities. Because he was also a herbalist, you know, Charon, and he was also an astrologer. I have to say that Charon, for me, is also about pain. Literal physical pain. And what Charon, I believe the lesson of Charon, which is not exactly the bridge between that and that, is really there is one important thing that Charon has to show us, is that we are humans and we have a body and that we've been given this vessel to live life on this planet, right? And you need to treasure the vessel. And you saw, I mean, Charon Return is a classic, which happens in your early 50s, is a classic menopausal return, right? You get Charon Return and you get the menopause, boom. And that reminds you of your body and of a new way of being in your body. And a new, fantastic, empowering way of being in your body, by the way, ladies. Don't believe all that stuff about terrible menopause. Actually, it's a power download. That's what they don't want you to know. You get more power. And so Charon is about the physical and the spiritual coming together. And how do you deal with that? And sometimes you have a physical thing, like in my case, I broke my heel, which creates a spiritual opening. So for me, the great symbol of Charon is the crack where the light gets in. Or the Japanese pot that's been glued back together with gold. So you cannot, to understand yourself as a human being on this planet, you need to get broken, right? And that happens. So it's about breakage and repair. So there can be a very difficult part to this. And, you know, a classic example for me is the death of Martin Luther King, who was killed when Charon went to 0 degrees Aries and he was shot in the head. And that caused incredible, he was sacrificed again. We're back to that Saturn and Pisces idea, because Saturn was in Pisces in the mid-60s. But so Charon is, you know, people like to sort of, I want to say, hippify it, you know, say, oh, it's the rainbow bridge to the sky and all that. It's kind of, for me, it's not that. It's much more serious, deep, powerful, profound, and about feeling your humanity. And Charon was half horse and half human, half spirit or half beast and half spirit, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, Christina. I mean, you know, as we said, as astrologers, we learn about these things through our own lives. And I was born with Charon in Pisces, which is Pisces is also medications. And actually looking back, I realized that when Neptune went over my Charon and Saturn went over my Charon, there were times when I went on medication, you know, to heal. I needed the medication to heal, which is a very Pisces theme as well. And also, when I had Charon going over my Aries ascendant, it's been there already, I got COVID and had to lay low. You know, and it was a time in the early days of COVID when actually I wasn't that poorly, but I had to isolate myself from society, you know, and it was like, what am I going to do with these 10 days? And it was a really deep and rich time of being on my own, you know, and being with my inner self. So I agree that I think there's this, it's giving you an opportunity.
But it does something painful. It's so interesting that you say that, because when I broke my heel, I did it really badly. I did it really stupidly. And I was laid up for 6 weeks. I couldn't move. And that was a classic Chiron transit to the sun. You know, there you go. You get excruciating pain. You get broken. And then you have to be still and focus on your body. And it really is saying, look at your body. You know, your body is a gift.
Yeah, so maybe I'll have more to report back next time, because Aries is my ascendant. And for Scorpios, this, you know, Sun Scorpio, this falls in Scorpio's sixth house of health. You know, it's likely to be something quite physical for Scorpio or Aries. So also, you know, during this solar eclipse, therefore, don't take any rash jumps or, you know, do anything crazy. Don't push yourself too much physically, because if you could, you know, you could get hurt. I mean, if you're going to be running a marathon or something, it could be quite debilitating, the after effect. So I think it is important to, you know, to see where this falls in your chart and therefore act accordingly.
I agree. And I think be careful of your head, of course, because it's Aries. You know, wounds to the head. On the other hand, you may have a breakthrough. If you are ill now, you may have a breakthrough in a chronic condition with this, because this is all about breakthroughs as well. It's an eclipse. The door may open. You may find the right doctor who is that Chiron person, the right healer. You know, it may turn out to be the acupuncturist, which is classic Aries thing to do. You know, it's the needles. You know, I have a great acupuncturist who's all Aries. You know, she has Mars on the midheaven. But yeah. So it may be that it is. So we were talking about sort of not doing things on the eclipse. Finding a new doctor or a new healer for yourself, if you've got a chronic condition, this could actually be quite a good thing around this eclipse. I'm not saying have the treatment, because that's a different kettle of fish. It's find the person.
Yeah, I like that. And also, just to pick up on something that you mentioned when you were talking about Chiron, is this power download that you talked about, which, you know, again, with Chiron in Aries, in each star sign, it's slightly different. I was talking about Chiron Pisces being medication for me. This is this power download. And you mentioned 1968, which was the last time Chiron was in Aries. And that was also the time for the civil rights movement. And one of the famous acts of 1968 was the Black Power salute at the Olympics. So there's this word, you know, power. There's something about the word power that's really resonating, I think, with Charon in Aries as well. And that was quite an extraordinary. I mean, I was looking back at that recently, I think because of looking at Charon in Aries, you know, the two black guys on the podium with the salute, and the white guy with them who knew what they were going to do and stood with them in solidarity. And when I was reading about the history of these three guys, the two black guys were pallbearers at the white guy's funeral. I mean, this created this really strong bond. So there's something about the power of this as well. And on this solar eclipse, it could be a time of real, we see some real, you know, feats of power and strength and showing courage and boldness too.
Yeah, well, we can all imagine how that could turn out as well. Maybe it's a little bit about solidarity as well. It's about imagining yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, that's an act of imagination, isn't it? So it's a really big deal, this eclipse, I think. And also an eclipse, I mean, I'm sure we've already said this on this podcast, is a gateway, right? It's a gateway. And standing at this gateway is Chiron. And Chiron is a teacher. He's saying, will you learn or will you do I need to inflict more pain for you to learn this lesson?
Yeah.
You know, have you learned? Have you healed? And it's also about being fearless, going on to the next thing. It's interesting, you know, I'm thinking about 60, I'm just thinking about, I think it was Jesse Jackson with the blood on his shirt from Martin Luther King's, you know, that's the image that I'm having with this. Sorry, that's a bit graphic for everybody. Let's sort of try and think of something more upbeat now that we've, and I would say actually for Cancerians, this is on your midheaven. So that's a very interesting place to have this particular eclipse happening. And it can be like an opening into, you know, a new profession that's a healing situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's, you know, I like solar eclipses. I mean, this one's extraordinary because of Chiron, but they are these, you know, they, one door closes so a new door can open. They're about beginnings. They're about, and in Aries, finding the courage to step into something new. What's important to remember on this eclipse, though, is that Mercury is still retrograde. So it may well be that an opportunity comes along, but there's still, you know, more to discuss or negotiate or talk about. And rather than signing anything on the back of this eclipse, you know, it's like, be aware that Mercury's retrograde. So read the small print, be a little bit careful. It may be that things don't completely take off or play out after this eclipse until Mercury turns direct, which is the 25th of April. So use the timing of it, but notice, you know, with all eclipses, notice what's happening, what kind of comes into your inbox, who you meet, the conversations you're happening. You know, are the little seeds being sown that are going to start something new for you in your life? And for both, I mean, Virgo and Pisces, this is the Aries Libra axis is about money. It's about sowing seeds for, you know, maybe making more money or looking at ways of transforming your finance situation. So again, looking really closely at where it falls.
Especially because, I mean, Mercury is not only is it retrograde, it's retrograding towards the eclipse point, isn't it? It's like coming back. So there's going to be more about this. So this eclipse is kind of prolonged. So you have the actual, you know, obviously we have the lead up, then you have the actual eclipse, and then Mercury goes back over that again, right? So it's a long period of this, it's a long period of turmoil and upheaval, and things are doors are flying open. Possibilities are rushing in, but other things are rushing out. So there's a lot of change. I would say this is a big change eclipse, and we're in a massive season of change because at the same time that we've got all of this turmoil happening in Aries affecting fire and cardinal signs, that Jupiter Uranus conjunction is, well, if you were reading it in a birth chart, it would be on. It would be now. We would already have it. It's exact at the end of April, but really we're already there, which is another breakthrough. It's a huge, it's associated with science, sciencey stuff. It's a huge breakthrough, liberation, change, conjunction. So we were just looking up, the last time was 2010, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was.
And I think that I associate this with the Arab Spring in particular, which was, it was, and I think that it was at zero Aries, which is also interesting last time.
Mm, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Just actually on this, you know, for me, the Jupiter Uranus, we've talked about it quite a bit, but it is often wherever it falls in your chart, and this for Taurus in particular, it's often, you know, is a time to take a leap of faith with the Jupiter Uranus, but it's in Taurus, which is the money sign. And I just happened to see in the news today, actually, while we're recording this, that a lot of the sort of, I don't know, top guys, billionaires, are starting to really sell off their stocks. And for tech companies, there's a lot of stocks being moved, and there's a real big sell going on. So you would expect this as well to bring significant changes to the money markets, wouldn't you?
Definitely money markets, as in currency. I think that's all in change. And also Bitcoin's done weird stuff recently as well, hasn't it? But I think that is still, I'm still, whatever. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if something happens with money with this too. I agree. And it could be around these eclipses. Because that conjunction is so close now. You know, it's we're in this state of turmoil about what, you know, about funding in a way, you know, about money. And that's going to change. There's something changing.
And just, can I just add for that? I mean, Mercury retrograde, again, you know, Mercury, it's gives its name to the markets, to merchandise. So the Mercury retrograde phase is often the time when money markets go a bit topsy-turvy as well. We've got the eclipses, we've got Jupiter-Uranus coming. Something big is coming, a significant change.
Like the stock market and money market, all of those things, right? Finances, basically, are likely to switch somehow. And I think there may be, you know, some pain coming, actually, for certain people. I certainly would not be gambling. You know what I mean? I would be putting they're putting their money somewhere safer, aren't they? That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they are.
And they're wondering whether it should be, where they're figuring out whether they should be running to real estate or gold or Bitcoin or what is the safe place to put your money. What there may be a problem with is hard currency, thinking about it, because that's kind of Taurian, is hard currency. What's the hard currency?
Yeah, and just thinking, you know, on a personal level, whatever's going on in your life in April, you know, Mercury doesn't leave Aries until mid-May. I mean, it's not out of its shadow phase until May 13th. So it I think it is, this coming month is a time to tread carefully.
And listen a lot. And don't, you know, don't speak. If you need to say stuff, think about it collectively. Yeah, in terms of the collective, working with the collective. It's not a time to sort of go off on your own and think I'm going to, you know, unless it's fine to go off on your own and be in the cave, but it's hard to stand up as individuals. It's better to stand up collectively.
And also there's this theme of, like you're saying, not to be careful of speaking out, but it's a really good time for inner conversation.
Oh, definitely. And study and all of that, and revision and rethinking and redoing and reworking, and it's all of that, you know. So, for example, for Pisces, as you said, that's to do with money, that area where you're reworking really hard and actually being quite brutal with yourself. I find that this, people for whom this is really, really important, I think, is the Aquarians. Because this is like in your communications sector. It's like, how are you communicating? Be really careful. Think. But if you've got a big project that you've been working on or something that needs revision, this is amazing for doing that.
Yeah, it is. Get that book written.
Yeah, get it written. But also to edit it now, please. Which, of course, is the key. Editing is the key. And I just want to, yeah, so you've already mentioned for Sagittarius, but for Scorpios, this may be a health issue, as you said, or it may be a matter of like reworking your schedule or reworking your, how you run your daily life, right? Your routine.
Yeah. Or getting fit, starting weight training. I'm considering that actually. So maybe this is the time to do it.
I can see you with a big, whatever they're called.
Barbell.
Barbell.
It's exciting astrology, but it is kind of tread carefully. Tread carefully in the month ahead. And it'll be really interesting, I think, to come out the other end of Aries season and to look at what's been going on and to mull it all over.
Yeah, great. Well, I think that about wraps it up, don't you, Sally?
I do.
So have a great month. I hope that all of you have some amazing breakthroughs, revelations, downloads of power, and avoid having those big family arguments. See you next month.
See you then. Take care. Bye.
Bye.